Depression, anxiety, and autoimmune symptoms after birth is not how it's supposed to be. There is a much better way, and I'm here to show you how to do just that. Hey, my friend, I'm Miranda Bauer, a mother to four kids and a biology student turned scientist obsessed with changing the world through postpartum care. Join us as we talk to mothers and the providers who serve them and getting evidence-based information that actually supports the mind, body, and soul in the years after birth. Hey, hey, everyone. I want to connect in and share with you a recent story of mine. And I know that so many of you have been asking about my daughter, Sophie, and how her recent experience in the hospital was and how we're doing and recovering. And I really just want to take some time to like share our experience because I feel like so many of us have gone through this. This is not something that is just for a few of us, but also because it's telling a really important story about what it is that we need to do as mothers in terms of being prepared, about how our systems are going and how we need to show up in our lives to be ready for these kinds of situations, which I tell you, we were not necessarily ready, but I'm so grateful for what we do have in place that really prepared us for such an event. So I'm going to share just really briefly with you what happened. My daughter is four. She woke up at like 5 o'clock in the morning. My tummy hurts. And then the moment like she's yelling for mommy that her tummy hurts, she was throwing up. And all day Friday, she was just throwing up. She had thrown up like over 20 times, the poor little thing. It was absolutely awful. And it so happened to be my eight-year-old's birthday. And she had this big sleepover plan, and we had this huge celebration and birthday party planned, and we had to cancel everything. It was awful. But she, thankfully, she was like super worried about her sister and was like, ah, yeah, I understand. Let's do it another time, mommy. And I'm so grateful for her and her love and appreciation for her sister and what was happening. So fast forward the next day, the vomiting had stopped, but it turned into the opposite end. And it was just like extreme diarrhea. And this is not something to mess with, y'all. Diarrhea is a really serious issue. It's still one of the number one killers in our entire world, mainly, and other underdeveloped countries across the world. Obviously, it's not something that we normally see as a death rate here in the United States and more developed countries. But how incredibly frustrating when your kids get sick with these nasty bugs and it completely wipes them out. And I tell you, it was pretty horrific. She was doing just fine. She was walking to the bathroom. She was able to manage. She was not necessarily in the greatest of spirits, obviously, because things were not going so well. Her tummy was cramping all the time. She was drinking so well. She was drinking so much and constantly thirsty. And as the day progressed, though, she got more thirsty and we were still able to like feed her just a little bits, but like it started to increase. Like the diarrhea was increasing every time she was like drinking, it was like sliding out of her. And she was in the bathroom every 10 to 15 minutes, which was a significant amount. And I remember it was like 8 o'clock at night and she laid down and her eyes were just almost rolling. And she looked up at me and she said, "Mommy, I am so scared." And I'm telling you, y'all, listen to your babies. That was my defining moment. Because I heard her say that and it was like, whoa, wait a second. Like, I have to reassess this entire situation. What's happening? Where is she? What have we been experienced? When was the last time that she had peed? How dehydrated is she? And when I started to really assess the situation in a different light, I noticed that her heart rate was over 180. She had shallow breathing at the moment. And I know that she had just told me that she was scared, but even, you know, a scared babe is not going to have that kind of heart rate. And I got her to kind of calm down and relax and let her know that everything was okay. And mommy's here. I'm going to take good care of her. And her eyes are just rolling and she's going to sleep as I'm saying this. And she's like out like a light. And I turned to my husband. I was like, we got to go. This is not okay. We have to go to the hospital. We have to do this now. Because this is taking a turn for the worse. And he was kind of like, are you sure? Like, I'm not, like, you know, really? And kind of let him know, like, here's her heart rate. Here's this, here's that. And he's kind of Googling a little bit, you know, and I'm, you know, warming up the car because being in Alaska, it's cold and I want her to be in a warm space. She's also got a fever. It was really high at one point. And, like I'm packing our bags. Like I'm getting overnight stuff, phone charger, extra clothes. I'm getting like I'm loading up. I'm calling family to come over to watch the kids. Easter's the next day. So I'm like setting out all of the stuff and at like a hiding spot. So my sister-in-law can put it together if we're in the hospital for longer than we wanted. And that's exactly what happened, y'all. We were in the hospital well over 8 hours. We didn't get home until 4 or 5 o'clock in the morning. And it was brutal. It was such a brutal experience of advocating for her and what she needed in those moments. And it was during a shift change. We had 8 different medical providers and nurses who were all like, oh, she needs this, she needs that. And then they weren't communicating with each other, which was probably like the hardest part. She ended up with 3 bags of IV fluids, 3 solid bags. And it just kept flowing. Like every time she would get a bag, it was just like flowing out of her. And at one point she was unresponsive to us. It was incredibly scary. When she started coming back just a little bit, she wouldn't look at her eyes. She started babbling. She was like, you know, and this is my baby girl who can talk really, really well. She has a massive vocabulary. She's already reading. And it was just a really unfortunate event. And the crazy thing is that they kept having like these boxes to check off, right? And it was like, well, why don't you, you know, you need to give her Tylenol. Well, why do we need to give her Tylenol? We just gave her ibuprofen and it's working. Her fever's being reduced. Why do we need that? Well, why do you not want it? What's your objection to it? Why don't you like it? You know, I think you should listen to my medical opinion. I mean, these are things that we were legit told. We were told that we needed a catheter because they needed a clean urine sample. And I kept asking, like, why do we need to do that? And they wanted to make sure that she didn't have a UTI or some other thing that was causing this whole scenario. And my husband and I were like, well, that's a really big deal. Like a cath, you know, putting a cath into this child is no small feat. And one of the nurses was like, she's 4. She's not going to remember. She's not going to remember this. I just have a couple of my other nurse friends come in here. We'll hold her down and be done in 30 seconds. And I was just absolutely blown away by the lack of understanding. And to be honest with you, when I was 4 and 3 and 2, from birth to probably about 5 years old, I was hospitalized constantly. And so this was my first encounter with this again. And I remember those experiences very, very well. They were incredibly traumatic for me. And I started to experience that again. I felt like I was so at ease. Like I was pacing. I couldn't stop shaking my legs when I was sitting, you know, like this is several days later. My daughter is still recovering. She's still not even able to go to school yet because she's still so weak. And I am recovering from the physical stress that the trauma of being in that scenario was causing. It was super intense. And we kept saying no, like, or maybe we'll think about it. And I'm telling you this because I want you to really understand the medical system, and it's there for a purpose. We needed the medical system. I don't know what we would have done if my daughter didn't go in. It was the best choice ever to bring her in and give her those fluids. There's nothing that I could have done at home that would have given her what she needed. We were doing all the right things. Like seriously, everything that we could have done at home we did and more, and it still wasn't working, right? It was so necessary for us to take her in. And it was almost still like, they were like, you were just on time. You were just on time. And I've kept thinking to myself, like, no, I'm too late. Like, she should have been here earlier. And they're like, no. You did the right thing bringing her in. And it was perfect timing. But there were so many things that were still not okay, that we still had to press for and advocate for. We were actually threatened multiple times that if we did not agree, that they were just going to keep us there longer, and they were going to admit us, and they were making threats about other things. And it was literally absolutely awful. And in order to get out of the hospital, I had to walk out of our room and go tag some people and be like, no, we're out, we're done. This is like, there's no other reason for us to be here. If you're not helping anymore, we need to go, and you need to sign those papers. And there was eye rolling, and there was, fine, you know, if you say so, I guess you seem like decent parents that care. I, again, am telling you this because we have such a beautiful system set up in my home. We have family that is close by. We have people in our lives that we can count on. And a nick of time and a split second notice, my sister-in-law was here to watch the other kids while they were sleeping and to handle all of the Easter goodies and, you know, for the morning. And they were able to take my other children to the Easter egg hunt and big Sunday brunch with the family and all of that without us having to do anything. We were so exhausted. We pulled a whole all-nighter and then some, because there was still no rest after we got home because she was still so sick and we were not in the clear. She was still in the danger because she was still not keeping any fluids in her. Thankfully, we were able to stop it and get it under wraps. And we used homeopathy. That was a huge factor in it. And I will tell you what, y'all, I was looking for the right homeopathic remedy in my home, and I couldn't find any. And somebody on my, one of my friends said, hey, do you have this one? I was like, no, I already looked. And then the next day after the whole experience, I was like, I have to look again, because I don't have the option. It's not like Sunday, Easter, I can go out to my local store and go get some homeopathic, and it's certainly not going to be delivered from to my house here in Alaska. Like, I had no options to get any. Everything was closed. And there it was. It was right there. I had it. And I was just like, you know what? This is a God-given gift. I'm going to use it. And then we used my Healy. If you're not familiar with Healy, I highly recommend you look it up. It's a frequency system, and it immediately, what it does is it tracks your frequency. So I was able to scan her frequency, and it told me immediately that she needs help with her large intestine and then her small intestine. And so what I do is I am able to send her the positive frequency associated with the large intestine. And then again, with the small intestine, I rotated those back and forth within a couple of hours between the homeopathic that I thought I didn't have, that I did have, which is just a simple gift, and my Healy, which, you know, if I were to tell the medical world, you know, in the ER that's what we were using or planning on using, it would have been an absolute bigger disaster than what it was. Then we, you know, we wouldn't have been able to stop it. We probably would have been back in the ER. Her body was just going and going and going. It really was quite a nightmare. I'm again telling you this because I want you to be so prepared. And one, I know so many of you are asking, I want to share this, but prepare yourself, get community support, find someone who can support you if something like that ever does happen. And make sure your pantries are stocked. Make sure that your medicines are stocked, that you've got what you need. Hey, I'm going to be 100% straight with you. The postpartum world is changing right now, and I know you feel it. It's in the politics, our community spaces. There is an urgent need to implement a different approach to postpartum health. If you're an alternative provider or postpartum advocate, you need to be with us in the Postpartum University Pro membership. Get the method, the tools, the handouts, the advanced trainings, and so much more to not only help your clients and your business grow, but to help you grow too. MarketWatch says that the afterbirth services and nutrition and support is set for extraordinary growth by 2030. Don't miss your opportunity to help women and families who desperately need your holistic support. Go to www.postpartumu.com/membership. We're accepting registrations right now, and we can't wait to see you there. Another key component for me was, it's what I call life systems, and I provide it for people in my membership, but it's like, here's how I handle like certain things in my life. Because here's the thing, I was on empty. My husband and I had zero sleep for 24 hours. She was up throwing up all day into the night, and then it was diarrhea into the night. And so we already had no sleep for over 24 hours. We were going 48 hours of solid, almost wakefulness, and then going into the ER and spending the entire evening in the ER. So now we're 48 and then, 56, whatever hours, like we're going days without sleep. Your brain changes and you're not able to think of the things that you know, like it just doesn't come to you. And so the things of like, well, shoot, how do I stop this? I don't even remember. I know that I have the things at home. I know I have the tools, but I don't know what those tools are because you just don't have the brain capacity for it. And so having this written out for me, I legit have this written out, y'all. I have everything written out where it says, here's how you help diarrhea. Here's the tools for an illness. Here's the tools for strep. Here's what you got. Here's the protocol that you can go down. And these are the basic things that I have on hand in my home at all times. And they're usually really, really basic stuff. A lot of them's food items. A lot of them's herbs. We use so many herbs and homeopathic remedies in my house. That's what we have. And I felt a little unprepared going in, but also so, so stinking grateful that actually I did have it together. I actually have to get a better system because I have all of my homeopathics in like a bag. Obviously, in very serious moments when you don't have time to just like power through a bag, I need another way of organizing that so I can just like maybe put them in alphabetical order in a special container or something. You know, where I can be able to physically see what it is that I'm looking for so much easier and be able to, you know, not have to shuffle through all that and then potentially not have it. So I'm telling you all of this in an effort to support you and help you while also sharing this story, because I know so many of you, God bless. Thank you for all of your support and your prayers and your messages. It has been absolutely amazing. And I couldn't have done this without my team and having systems in place so that we can still function and answer your emails and help you with support and make sure that you're getting your needs met while I'm out, not able to be present in my business and 100% on my family. And then in my own healing too. You know, this was a huge event, and I mentioned it brought up a lot of trauma in my own experience. I was hospitalized a lot for gastrointestinal bleeding that happened often right after I received immunization, my regular immunization, childhood shots. I would end up in the ER very shortly after with an internal intestinal bleeding. And so I've had all the tubes, all of the, you know, things up all crevices of my body, exploratory things. I've had surgery in my stomach when I was 5. I've had quite a bit, and I remember so much of it. And there were times that I was hospitalized even simply for not eating. I didn't eat for like a week straight because I was terrified of food. Food was awful. Like I associated food with pain. And I remember that. Even as a 3-year-old, remembering that time in my life where that happened, And then hearing my husband say, honey, you got to eat, you got to eat. And my daughter saying, no, 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 I don't want to. Like it was just rough. And that needed so much healing. And I'm not there yet, y'all. I'm taking extra time out of my days to really focus on healing my own body. So I'll tell you a few things that I'm doing to really help. Journaling is one of them. Making sure that I'm communicating in some way, especially through my journal, my own thoughts and feelings and the things that have come up. It's really helping me process being able to talk about it with everyone like you and sharing on this podcast and communicating with my mom and my parents and talking to my husband, like, did you remember when they said this and this, you know, like just all of a sudden, like something comes to me and I'm like, oh, I can't believe it. Or like that voice that she had when, you know, she wasn't well and she said this and it was heartbreaking, and like just processing all of the things and allowing my body to do that. I'm also doing a ton of TRE therapy. So if you're not familiar with that, I share a lot of it in my book, Reclaiming Postpartum Wellness, about how we store trauma within our bodies. Physically, they are stored in the cellular structure of our bodies. And there's so much science, there's so much evidence on it. Actually, I just saw an article that came out how this generation is still experiencing trauma that has been passed down from the potato famine from the generations before, many generations before, those in Europe and Ireland and things like that. And I was like, yeah, I know. It's passed down quite a bit. And so I am using TRE therapy to remove that physically from my body. So I have been doing that twice a day, morning and night, and any other time that I just feel like I need extra support. I have got a Reiki appointment scheduled and some cranial sacral work scheduled as well. My husband is amazing at giving me massages all the time. I think he actually enjoys it just as much as I do. So that has been working out to my benefit, of course, and just taking some extra time away to breathe, to be in nature. The weather is turning for the better most of the time. Like we're seeing some snow here and there, but then all of a sudden it's like 40 degrees or 45 degrees and the sun is out. And I'm just making sure that I get out there as much as I possibly can to really enjoy that weather and nature and all the birds singing coming out. This spring has been so beautiful. So again, take some time out to really make sure that you are all set for the crazy things that happen in life that we don't really have control over. I am not going to sit here and beat myself up and tell myself that I could have avoided this, or if I did XYZ, it would have been a better scenario. I'm telling you, that's all BS. It's not true. And I know that. And the old me would have done exactly that. And if that's you, I get it. I feel your pain, but please don't do that to yourself. Things happen all the time, and we're not going to beat ourselves up for it. Actually, one of the ladies that I know very well, her daughter has been experiencing some serious conditions. She's been in and out of the hospital for a long time. They haven't been able to figure out what's going on. And I was actually chatting with her very recently, and she was like, she had to fly her daughter to out of state to go to another hospital to get some answers. And she was able to get a few, and like, they're on this slow road, but she was like beating herself up. I should have done this sooner. I didn't do my best. And it's like, are you kidding me? We are doing everything that we can with what we have. And it's not us that's failing. Truly, it is the medical community that is failing us. It is the lack of support that we have that is failing us. And we're going to have to team up. We're going to have to do this together. And we're going to have to prepare ourselves better in ways in which we haven't had to before. Because our community healthcare right now is awful. We're only as healthy as our communities. We are only as healthy as our communities. And right now, our communities are not helpful and they're not healthy and they are struggling immensely. We have so much. I mean, this stomach bug was a catastrophe. I've never experienced anything like it. And looking back at my own childhood, I don't ever remember stomach bugs like this. I was talking to my mom about it the other day and she was like, this did not happen when we were young. Like sometimes y'all threw up, but it was usually, you know, you had the flu or you ate something bad, and it was rare. It wasn't something that happened like this. Like we have full blown, you know, wipes out communities all the time, kind of stomach bugs or other viral things that are going around that are just so disgusting and nasty and at levels that we've never experienced thanks to antibiotics, thanks to experimental shots that people are taking, thanks to all lab testing, right? It's just awful. What we're having to deal with is unprecedented. We need to make sure that we are prepared. So again, thank you all. Prepare yourselves so that you don't have to go through scenarios like that. Or when you do, and the rare times that you do, that you are prepared and you're able to say no and stand up. I would tell you, I was on the brink of not following through, of saying, no, you can cath my daughter and find out if she has a UTI, which I knew that she didn't, simply because I wanted out of the hospital, because I haven't slept and going on 72 hours and it was awful. And I wanted my daughter home. And by the time she had 3 bags of IVs, she was begging to go home. She was finally able to communicate and speak. And she was like, I just want to go. I want to go. I want out. And it was hard. It was very, very hard. And the one thing that was so significant was, one, having my husband by my side to help advocate and be there, and also saying, I need time to think about it. Can you give us 5 minutes? Can you give us 10 minutes? And then, you know, somebody else would come in and they would try to say the same thing and we'd be like, give us 5 minutes or give us 10 minutes. And they'd leave the room all huffy and puffy that we didn't quite say yes yet. And then they'd come back with, you know, they came back with a different cast sizes and they were showing us like, this is how it'll be done. And this is all it is. And we won't even have to shove the whole thing up. Like, these are the words that were being used, just absolutely horrifying. And be prepared for those things. All right. Thank you all. Keep sending your love and blessings, because it is still a road of recovery. She's struggling with energy. And I'm telling you, we're doing all the right things. We are doing all the right things. We're working with providers, chiropractic care. She's on, you know, a probiotics. We've got it down. We know exactly what we're doing. It's just a long road, and we're giving her as much grace and as much time as she needs. And I'm so grateful for the privilege and the opportunity and the ability to do that as her mother. So thank you all. Keep sending all the love. I am so grateful you turned into the Postpartum University podcast. We've hoped you enjoyed this episode enough to leave us a quick review. And more importantly, I hope more than ever that you take what you've learned here, applied it to your own life, and consider joining us in the Postpartum University membership. It's a private space where mothers and providers learn the real truth and the real tools needed to heal in the years postpartum. You can learn more at www.postpartumu.com. We'll see you next week.